Bring your worry, grief, and pain. Every cause you have for shame, lay it all down. Lay it all down. When your cares have buried you, and there's nothing left to do, lay it all down. Lay it all down. At the feet of Jesus. At the feet of Jesus.
But your heart was tired. Feared the worst and felt the fire.
Lay it all down. Lay it all down.
Filled with all those anxious thoughts, and your doubts became your God.
Lay it all down. Lay it all down. At the feet of at the feet of Jesus.
Lay it all down, lay it all down, lay it all down, lay it all down. Lay it all down, lay it all down.
Lay it all down, lay it all down, lay it all down, lay it all down.
Lay it down,
lay it all down,
lay it all down,
lay it all down.
Lay it down.
What are we praying for? What are we praying for? What are we saving? Good morning, everyone. How are you? It's good to see you. Glad that you have chosen to join us here at Trinity this morning. We have gathered here together to worship our God. And worship really isn't something we just do on a Sunday, but you know, it's a lifestyle. It is how we are to live each and every day, giving God praise and honor and glory in everything that we say and do. But today is special because it's the first day of the week, and we gather to worship our God. He is the maker of heaven and earth, and He is our Father in heaven, and His name is to be holy. He is our Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and through the Holy Spirit, we are worshiping Him. And He is the one who leads us and guides us until the return of the Lord Jesus for us, his church. And we say, come Lord Jesus, amen. We gather today on the first day of the week, like the first believers did. We do that in celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And we celebrate new life in him. And we celebrate that hope that this new life brings to everyone who believes. It's an eternal hope. It's a hope of forever with God in heaven. But it's also an earthly hope. It's a hope that he is now even with us. A hope that is sure and secure because he is in our hearts and therefore he is in this place right now. You know, there's many things that can distract us in life, and perhaps you were distracted even this morning getting ready to come here to Trinity. And we can get distracted from these wonderful truths about God as our Maker, our Father, our Savior. But of course, God knows that, right? He knows our hearts. He knows all about us. And so he tells us to do this. He tells us to gather, to get together as often as we can to worship him, but also in our worship to fellowship. And in that fellowship, we remind each other that God is good, and we remind each other that there's hope. And we remind each other that Christ is our peace. And we remind each other that he loves us and that in him we find our true joy. So gathering together in this place is special and it's important. But we also remind each other that there is something exciting to look forward to, and that is his return, that he's coming back for us. And we realize, though, that we would love for that to happen now, but time is in his hands. And he will come back for us in his perfect time. We don't always personally care for how God works things out in his timing, although we know it's right for us. We desire for things to happen usually a lot quicker than they seem to, but time is in God's hands, and he will come back for us in his perfect timing because God is outside of the bounds of time. And so while we wait, we worship. And we proclaim his goodness. We proclaim his greatness. I'd like to read to you as our call into worship a reading from the Old Testament and then a reading from the New. In the Old Testament, it is Psalm 93. The entire psalm, just five verses. But Psalm 93 says this. The Lord reigns, and he is clothed with majesty. The Lord has clothed and girded himself with strength. Indeed, the world is firmly established, and it will not be moved. Your throne is established from old. You are from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord, and the floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their pounding waves. More than the sounds of many waters, than the mighty breakers of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. Your testimonies are fully confirmed. Holiness befits your house, O Lord, forevermore. We praise God that he is from everlasting to everlasting. Our New Testament reading is from the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 through 9. Peter says this about the return of the Lord. Know this first of all, that in the last days, mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own desires, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all seems to continue as it was from the beginning of creation. For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago and the earth was formed out of the water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. But by his word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promises, as some count slowness, but he is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Amen. Why don't you stand with me as we pray and spend some time singing praises to God together. Father, thank you that you are outside of time. Thank you, God, that you are from everlasting to everlasting, the Ancient of Days, the Alpha and the Omega, no beginning and no end. God, we thank you that your time and your timing is perfect in our lives. And we thank you, God, that you are not slow to keep your promises as we might account slowness, but God, you are patient. Thank you for being patient with us each and every moment of each and every day. Thank you that you are patient because your heart is one that is full of love. Love for your people, that more would come to repentance. God, we know that your timing is perfect, yet your desire is that all would come to know you. God, we have gathered here together in your name to worship you and to encourage each other of these wonderful, wonderful truths. So now, God, we sing songs of praise to you. We join our hearts and our voices together. May you be blessed by it, because we know that we are. But be blessed, Father God, be glorified. In Jesus' name, through the Holy Spirit, for your glory, Father, amen. Let's worship the Lord together.
Remains that my God is the end. precious Lord Jesus, treasure of mine. Oh, what a privilege to be your delight. Morning by morning, new glories I see. Oh, what a wonder you are to me.
Yeah. thousand generations falling down in worship to sing the song of ages to the Lamb. And all have gone before us, and all who will believe will sing the song of ages to the Lamb. Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all. All thrones and dominions, all powers and possessions, your name stands above them all. And the angels cry, holy, all creation.
Father, our praises are to you and to you alone, for you the one who is holy, And God, we can sing these words because they are true, that you are holy forever. Again, Lord, time is in your hands. You have always been, and you always will be, and you will always deserve all of the honor and glory. And so, Father, that is why we sing, and we sing from our hearts this truth. God, continue, Lord, to be, through your Spirit, our leader in worship this morning, as we desire to keep our eyes on you, the true and holy one. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you take a moment to say good morning to somebody next to you. All right, if we can make our way back to our seats. We are very thankful to the Lord for just a sweet time of worship through music. And, of course, through fellowship, and we praise God for that. You know, it's just a reminder that we have an opportunity for extended fellowship every Sunday morning about 9:45. We just have coffee and the doors are open, of course, so you just come early if you'd like and come and get an extra time of fellowship, maybe greet some people, meet some people you don't know yet, or catch up with some people you haven't seen in a week or longer, and grab, an extra cup of coffee. So that's every Sunday morning, 9:45, just time of coffee and fellowship. So it'd be wonderful if you could come and do that, and it's just a good time. Heard a lot of good stories about just getting to meet people, and you have sort of an extra time of where you can have conversations a little bit longer than maybe you can during our greet one another time. So that is every Sunday. We just want to get caught up on a few things that going on in the life of Trinity. Remember that we are gathering coats, gently used or new, for our outreach in the end of January into Delaware. We do this every year, and we go down to Delaware. We partner with another ministry there called the Sunday Breakfast Mission. And there's just a large community there, people that are struggling with homelessness, the unhoused, and people that are right on the poverty level or below, of course. And we just bring coats. And so if the Lord leads, we would just love for you to, between now at the end of January, just bring in coats, again, gently used or new as you're out buying Christmas presents. And you can bring them in any Sunday. And we go at the end of Delaware. But also related to that, we just had an opportunity that the Lord worked out to bring some coats, to donate some coats to a church in Lakewood. It's just through someone in the church that was talking to a client of theirs and mentioned that there was a need, and then it came through us and went to our missions team, and we're going to be able to bless a church in Lakewood that has a ministry. It's called a Code Blue Ministry. If you're not aware, then when the temperature goes below a certain degree, I think it's below freezing, 32, then the state will call it Code Blue, which is there are certain facilities and places that need to open their doors for people that live out on the streets. And so they actually run one of these, and so it's at a church in Lakewood. So when it's that cold, then people can come in from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m., and they can stay overnight because of the freezing temperatures. They get a dinner meal, and then they get breakfast before they leave, and we're able to then bless them with some extra coats and things to keep them warm during the winter. So we're going to be taking all that we have already collected to them, so we'll definitely need additional donations between now at the end of January for our outreach to Delaware. So we praise God that He is using us and making connections so that we can go and help others, right? Because we plan to go to Delaware, but we want to help people right in our own backyard. So we thank God for making those connections, because as we say at Trinity, we learn, we grow, and we serve, and that's part of serving, is that we're helping the people in communities around us. So next week is the 22nd, and it will be our Trinity Kids Christmas program, so make a note of that, hopefully. Yeah, we love it. And we want to come and support the children, and so it's a great Sunday, of course, to invite friends and family, and the kids will lead us in a program during the service to help us keep our focus on Christmas and, of course, on the Lord Jesus Christ and His miraculous birth. And so make sure that you're here for that. That is next Sunday. They have been rehearsing just diligently. They'll be rehearsing again in here after service today. Just, get everything ready. So that is next Sunday, the 22nd. Then, of course, Christmas Eve is quickly approaching, and so we will have our classic Christmas Eve candlelight service, 6 p.m., right here at Trinity, and it's just a special evening of worship and from the Word as we just focus this year on hope, that hope is born, and what it means to celebrate Christmas. And so it's a special evening, again, another opportunity to invite people that you have in your life that you've been telling Jesus about that maybe are not as comfortable yet coming on a Sunday, or maybe would come to something like that. And so we invite, of course, everyone to come to our Christmas Eve candlelight service at 6 p.m. On the 24th. So there's many more things to know about. You know, of course, as we continue to learn, grow, and serve together, check out our website, trinityallenwood.com. It's got all the information about who we are, what we believe, and why, and sort of why we gather, how we're structured, and those things that we care about. It even breaks down the learn, the grow, and the serve. And so you can go on to our website and learn more about that, why those things are important to us. And so please make a note of that as well. That's trinityallenwood.com. So many other things to discuss. I do have, as we've been going through our series in Matthew, we're taking a break from that, as we love to go through books of the Bible here at Trinity. So we're going through a journey through Matthew, but we've just pushed pause on that just for a moment for the month of December as we talk about Advent. And Advent simply means arrival. And it's sort of a traditional thing that we can do on the church calendar is take time to remember the importance of Christmas, because it can get lost on us, right, in all of the busyness. And we know that happens to all of us. And so we want to give a certain time during the season to just focus on what it means that God promised to send his Savior, and he made good on that promise over 2,000 years ago. And so we focus on that, the Advent. And so we look forward the whole month to Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. And so the traditional themes of Advent are hope, which we looked at the first week, and peace, which we looked at last week, and today is love, and the next Sunday will be joy. And what a perfect Sunday as we have the kids celebrating with us. But today we talk about love. So I do have, as always, a whole message prepared about love and about what God says about love. So we have sort of have a choice today. We can talk about love and the message I prepared, or as many of you kind of heard as on the way in conversations, we could talk about drones if you want. I mean, we could do the message, or we could just talk about all of our theories about what's going on with drones, right? I'm going to vote for a message from the Word of the Lord because there's been a lot of other talk as well. And we understand that, and we know why. But it's just so curious, isn't it, that, you know, I don't know, things happen, and things happen in New Jersey, right? And it's weird, and people are just like, okay, why are these drones over New Jersey, of all states? And somebody said, you know, I don't know, if they're aliens, they're choosing the state with, like, the highest tax rate in the whole country. Like, why are they doing it? My theory is they're just looking for a good diner. And they heard we had 24-hour diners, but they don't really exist anymore. So they're just flying around looking for that 24-hour diner. That's what I think. Perhaps it's just all of your gifts that you ordered on Amazon that are being delivered, because we know that that is coming, right? That they're going to soon be delivered by drone. And so maybe they're testing that. I don't know. But whatever it is, serious or not, we continue to say here at Trinity, come Lord Jesus, right? But I can tell you when Jesus comes, it will not be by drone, okay? Because here's what the scripture says, 1 Thessalonians 4, for the Lord himself, just as a great reminder for us, will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, all who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Encourage one another with these words. That is how we encourage each other, that the Lord Jesus is coming back. This passage talks about what we call the rapture. He is coming back for us, his church, right? And then after that, there will be a time when he will return directly to the earth to rule and to reign over his kingdom, and that is called the second advent, the second time he comes to earth. But this month, we've been talking about Jesus' first advent, his first coming to earth, God in flesh. And this is what we celebrate at Christmas. We say Emmanuel. You know what that name means? It means God with us. So that is God tabernacling with us, dwelling with us, abiding with us. That is why the themes of Advent traditionally are hope and peace and love and joy, because these are the things that well up inside of us when we are reminded that God made good on his promise, he came to earth, and he is, as Jesus said himself, coming again. We look forward to that, but this time of year, we are reminded that he came the first time, and Jesus came to offer salvation to the world, a way of rescue. And he came as the greatest gift of love ever given. Our Heavenly Father gave us Jesus. It's what we celebrate at Christmas, that gift, God's very own Son. But you know, Scripture goes on to say that we are called to then become like him, live like him, to grow into maturity as believers, to become more like Jesus each and every day. That's like our core values. We learn all about who we are in him, and about salvation offered to us and what it means to now be believers and to be in him. And then we learn that, but then we grow. We grow in our faith and our trust in him. And that's our whole lifetime, growing in our knowledge of him and our growing in how we are living that out. And then, of course, we serve. And we are to serve. We don't just keep that gift for ourselves. We are to take that gift and treasure it, that precious gift. We receive it. but then we are to be generous with it and to share that gift of Jesus with others. The Gospel of John, written by the Apostle John, was not the only book that he wrote. John also, we know, wrote other letters, and one of them is, we just simply call it 1 John. There's 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, but in the book of 1 John, the Apostle John tells us that the greatest attribute of God, this God who sent us his Son, the gift that we celebrate at Christmas and why we give each other gifts, in remembrance of that, that greatest of attributes of this very generous God is love. And so in our passage for today, we find the Apostle John telling us about the nature and importance and the practice of love. Here's what it says in our reading for today. You can turn to it in your Bibles. If you use the Bible app on your phone, you can turn to that. It'll also be up on the screen for you. 1 John 4, verses 7 through 12. Here is what John says about the nature and purpose of love. He says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent us his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us." I just briefly, in our time remaining this morning, just want to unpack these verses that talk about God's love for us, where it starts, who he is, and what that means for us as those who receive that love, and then how we are to express it in our lives and to each other. So let's look at that together. As we celebrate Christmas, the Advent, the first Advent of Christ, as we anticipate, right, his coming in this celebratory season of Christmas, we want to celebrate the birth of our Savior, which we cannot truly appreciate without knowing about his love. So we start here, verses 7 and 8. It all starts with God. That sounds like a good place to start, right? It starts with God. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God." He goes on to say at the end of verse 8, God is love. See, that's important. We don't want to gloss over that or miss that, church. You know, we often talk about how God loves us, and he does. But it starts with the fact that God is love. That might be hard for us to kind of wrap our minds around, right? God himself is love. It's his very nature. John is saying, this is the greatest attribute of God, and everything flows from that. See, John was writing these letters to help those believers who were being attacked by false teachers. See, every book of the Bible was written for a reason and a purpose. And we look at the letters of the New Testament, and they were written with a purpose in mind, to address an issue, to help a church or a person, and to get a point across, right? And so John is writing this first of these letters to help believers be aware that there are false teachers among them and to encourage those who are being beset by these false teachers. But see, what is it that they were teaching? So it's good to know this background, and we understand why John is talking all about love. Because these false teachers in particular were saying that Jesus was not God. They were denying his deity and saying he didn't come from God, right? And that therefore the incarnation, Jesus, right, that was not real. He is not God himself. Well, what do we celebrate at Christmas? We celebrate the incarnation, Emmanuel, God with us, God in flesh, entering into our history, into time and space. And we say, Emmanuel, God with us, to dwell among us, to abide with us. God is love. See, so John is writing this letter saying, hold on, let me remind you of this very important foundational truth about our God. You have false teachers among you, and they're telling you that Jesus isn't really God, and he is not God in the flesh. Well, let me tell you, he is. We know it by the gift he gave in his son. But he starts off by saying, God is love. He says, let us love one another. See, he's setting that up. He comes back to that at the end. Let us love one another, but why? Love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. But if you do not love, you don't know God. You don't understand the whole nature of God. But he says it simply here, because God is love. So first and foremost, we are to remember, as John tells us, that God is love. And that it all starts with God. Anytime you're having a conversation with somebody about God, about your faith, it's important to know where we want to start, right? Because people have all kinds of questions and things that they may struggle with, obstacles that they have with understanding this nature of God and faith. We always want to come back to the nature and attributes of God. And what a perfect place to start. It's his heart of love, because he is love. Remember this too, church. Only God can define love. See, we think we can define anything we want. I mean, and when we do that, we can take definitions of words that we get from Scripture. We know God as creator, and we can decide that we can make it say whatever we want, or we can decide how to define terms in life. But John is saying, wait, 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 it all starts with God, and he is love. And what a powerful reminder that as God is our creator, he has every right to define the nature of our creation, doesn't he? He gets to define even things like love. And he says, we love because he first loved us. So it starts with God himself. But then what do we do with that love? Verses 9 and 10. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us. So he's about to tell us how God showed us his love. So he is love. God himself is love. He has a heart of love then. But what does that mean practically for us? His love, the love of God, was made manifest. It means to be revealed. Made manifest among us that God sent his only son into the world. Sounds like a familiar passage, doesn't it? John 3:16. He sent his only son into the world that we might live through him. And then there's a reason. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us. So it starts with God and his love for us. This is how he did it. Again, he sent his son to be the propitiation of our sins. He paid our sin debt. But he said, this is how God revealed his love through Jesus Christ. He sent his only son. See, it says God sent. It means he gives that gift, right? In just a little over a week, we're going to be gathered around with family and friends. We're going to be giving gifts and receiving gifts. But why do we do that as Christians? We do it in remembrance of the greatest gift, in celebration of the greatest gift ever given to the world that we have received, and that is God's very only Son, Jesus. So God sent, that is the gift. His only Son tells us he is a precious gift. It doesn't say one of his sons. His only son, his only begotten son. God gave of himself to us the greatest gift. It was a sacrificial gift. But it says he is the gift, he's a precious gift, so what's the reason we have this gift? It is for life. It is for life. It says so that we might live through him. God gave us Jesus Not that we can just be happy and have everything that we want. It is ultimately for life and life itself, church. John 1, 4, the John's gospel, he starts it this way. He says about Jesus, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. See, Jesus is our life, amen? He brings us life. He is our life. Just like God loves us, he is love. And then it says he was the propitiation of our sins. He appeased the wrath of God. Now, at Christmas time, we don't like to talk about sin. We don't like to talk about the death of Christ on the cross. We don't like to talk about the wrath of God. But Jesus Christ, we are reminded, was born to die. He was born to die. God gave us his son, the ultimate gift, an expression of love. He did it for us that we might live, but in order for us to live through him, as it says in verse 9, Jesus needed to die. That's why John says he became the propitiation for our sins, the appeasement of God's wrath, because God needs to judge sin. That's always been the case. And so he promised he'd send a Savior, and he did in the person of Jesus Christ, appeasing the very wrath of God. Why? So that we would not have to pay that penalty that we owe. See, Jesus paid a penalty that he didn't owe, but that we did. But it's a penalty we owe that we could not pay, and only he could. So he did that for us. But Christmas is that time where we remember the beginning of that whole plan, that God made good on his promise and sent us his son, that he might dwell among us, Emmanuel, God with us. Love is initiated by God. Excuse me, we don't want to get this lost on us either. It says, in this is love, verse 10, that we have loved God. We have loved God, but first he loved us. See, John says it this way, not that we loved God, meaning we didn't start the process. God loved us. Church, let's park there for just a moment. Just think about that. God began that love process. It starts with God. Every other religion or faith or philosophy throughout human history, or even that exists today, teaches just the opposite. That it all begins, a relationship with God begins with us trying to please God. It's about mankind trying to be reconnected to God. See, it starts with us, all the other religions say. But as believers in Christ, we realize the Christian faith says, wait, it starts with God. God is the one who sought after us. Why? Because he is love. Because he has a heart of love. You remember back in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sinned and they hid themselves? Remember how they foolishly tried to hide from God? Like he could not find them? They realized they were naked and they said, we got to do something about it. And they took fig leaves and that, you know, that wasn't going to cut it. And so they hid. And what does it say next? God says, where are you? Where are you? He went searching for them. Now, of course, God knew where they were. But we learn so much from that statement. He says, where are you? It's as if God was saying, what have you done? Why are you hiding from me? I'm the one that created you. But see, we don't want to lose that, church, because in that, those simple words, where are you? Those three words, where are you? It shows us so much. God was seeking after them. God is the one who created. God sought them when they sinned. God promised to send a Savior. Jesus came from heaven to earth. God descended. God dwells. It all starts with God. God is the one who seeks us out because he is love. Do you see how special and unique that is? Every other faith, every other religion, in some way or another, is about trying to be better ourselves so we can get reconnected with God. See, it starts with us, but God says, no, it starts with him. He loves us. And that's what John is saying. He's saying, it starts with God, for he first loved us, and God gave us his only son. We praise God for that. And in him, we have life. He says, we are then to love and understand this love, because we then can live through him. It's God's love is a matter of life. But what else? I want to go back to verse 7 real quick. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. See, first we know it starts with God. But then we see how he expresses that love to us by giving us his son. But then it's not only expressed to us, what do we do with it? We are to experience that love, which means we are changed forever when we believe. Right? One condition for salvation over and over again in the New Testament, believe. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. You're believing the truth of who God is, who Jesus is, but you're also then trusting in that truth for your eternal destiny. So we are then to experience this love that was expressed to us from God himself. Just like at Christmas time we remember the shepherds in the fields tending their sheep, their flocks at night. Just like the shepherds had this amazing experience of God's love. The light shone down, the angels appeared. The shepherds experienced it, and it became personal. Just think about that too. The angels appeared. The whole world didn't hear it. They appeared to the shepherds. It became personal. It was proclaimed to them. The love of God, John is saying, is for you. See, when we say that the gospel of grace is that God did all that was required for us to be saved from the penalty of our sin, we say that it is a gospel of grace because God did everything in Christ Jesus that was required to pay that penalty. We simply receive that gift by faith. Receive that gift by faith. But we say that we receive the gift by faith, by believing. And in that believing, it certainly means and simply means that we agree to the truth that Jesus is who he says he is, but we then trust that what he did was enough and that he did it for us. See, it's got to be personal. We don't just believe it as an abstract truth. Yeah, I believe Jesus did this. Yes, for the whole world, John 3:16, but we say he did it for me. It is personal, and it has to be personal because every one of us is accountable to God. And that is a part of what Christmas time reminds us of. It's Advent, it's the arrival of Jesus. Do you know that he came for you? He created you, he knows you. When it says God so loved the world, you're included in that. You are special, and a Savior has been born to you. Jesus is a personal Savior. As the angels appeared to the shepherds, we know it became personal. Jesus, born of God, we then can know God. So therefore, we are called to have this personal relationship with God. It can only be found through Jesus Christ. So we experience what has been expressed to us, but then we also are to express it to others. Beloved, if God so loved us, there's the if word, right? So if this is true, then what? We also ought to love one another. See, there it is. How do we then express it to others? If God's love has been expressed to us, because he is love, through sending Jesus, and we experience it, we receive it, we experience it, we are then to express it to others. See, he expresses it to us, we experience it, and then we express it to others. Church, this love we receive as a gift is not for us to just keep and hold on to and not to share. No, just the opposite. We are to be generous. Isn't that a part of Christmas too? Don't we love being generous towards others? Right? To be generous and give, and we see the look on people's faces that we love when we buy them that special gift, and God looks down on us with great joy when we receive that gift as he's given us. But then he calls us to then express that beautiful gift of love to others. He says, so since God has loved us, we ought to love one another. But then, church, look at what he says, the beginning of verse 12. No one has ever seen God. Why would he just throw that in there? Because of what he's about to say next. No one's ever seen God. Right, so we haven't seen God like walking around. Not until now. We've seen Jesus. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. What's he saying? He's saying we then represent Jesus to others. You've probably heard it said that you might be the only Jesus people ever see. In a way, there's a truth to that, meaning we are called now to be God's representatives, his ambassadors, to shine his light. If John tells us in his gospel that he is the light of the world and the light shines in the darkness, we now as his people are called to reflect his light, to reflect that heavenly light. And so John here is saying, no one has ever truly seen God. Now they have seen Jesus. He's saying, you've all seen Jesus. You have received his love. Now, if we love one another, then other people around us will see the love of God. How are people going to know the love of God if they don't see it in us? We share the word with them. We tell them God is love. It starts with God. This is how you receive that love. It's the pure and simple gospel. But then we are to show that love towards others. That's a big part of what we remember this Advent season of Christmas time. It is about receiving the gift and giving. We thank God for giving us the gift. We then reflect that thankfulness in giving the love of God to others. He says, if he abides in us, that word abide is so beautiful. That word abide, you can go back and read John 14 and 15. You hear that word abide over and over. And it simply means this. We want to dwell, stay with, stay close to Jesus. We keep our eyes on him. We stay close to him, abide in him. So our response to receiving this gift of love is that we are to love others the way he has loved us. How did he love us? He loved us sacrificially. He loves us unconditionally. This love of God is meant to be given. John says, how will people then see God? He says, no one's ever seen God, but they will see him in you. John says it this way in his gospel, John 13. This is John's account of Jesus with him and the other disciples the night before he was betrayed. He's in the upper room with his most cherished loved ones. They're all gathered around, and Jesus knew, they didn't quite know yet, Jesus knew this would be the last Passover meal that he would get to take with his beloved friends and family. And part of what Jesus says, John records here, Jesus says these words, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Jesus taught this right before he was about to go to the cross, to be betrayed and go to the cross for them and for us. Now, loving others was not new, but this new commandment was given because of what Jesus was about to do, that greatest expression of love. God gave us Jesus, but Jesus was born to die to go to the cross. And Jesus knew his time was quickly approaching. So he says, I'm giving you this new commandment that you love one another. It was loving in a new way. It was taking the gift that he was about to give them and sharing it with others. He says, just as I loved you. See, they didn't quite know all the depth of what that love meant. Jesus did, because he knew what was about to happen a few hours from then. But he says, then love each other in the way that I am about to show you how I love you. And by this, all people will know that you're my disciples, if you have this love for one another. See, it starts with God. He gives us the gift. We receive it. We then show it to others. But when we say we learn, we grow, we serve others, we love others, church, it has to start here. It starts among the people here at Trinity. It starts among the local expression of churches of true believers around the world, that we are to love one another. If we can't get that right, how will the world know the love of Jesus? We are to love one another. God expressed his love through Jesus. We experience it by receiving that gift of love. Then we express it to others. And we love others. And Jesus says, this is how everybody else will know you belong to me, that you are mine. It all is because of love. That's the importance of love at Christmas time. And Jesus said this to his disciples right after he washed their feet. An expression of sacrificial giving love. Love is serving. See, Jesus wants to make sure that we understand that love is not an optional virtue for every believer. It is to be the distinguishing mark of the church in the world. How are we doing with that? When those who are not yet believers look at the church at large, church with a capital C, do they say, boy, they are a loving group of people? I hope so. But Jesus said that's what they should see. That should be what comes to mind first. Christians, they love. Boy, you see the way they love each other and take care of their own and they're unified? Oh, I want some of that. That's the idea. Love is to be the highest standard by which we measure our fellowship with God and with others. It's how we love, because it starts with him. And church, the greatest way to love others is to share Jesus Christ with them. Won't we introduce somebody to Jesus this Christmas season? God gave us hope at Christmas in his son Jesus. So now we are people of hope, so we can bring that hope to the world. God gave us peace at Christmas in his son Jesus. So let us first have peace with God and then be peacemakers and tell others the only means of true and lasting peace. And God gave us love at Christmas in his son Jesus, that we can share that love with others in word and in deed. That night over 2,000 years ago, God's hope and peace and love were made visible in Emmanuel, God with us. So let the hope and peace and love of God be visible in our lives this Christmas. Amen. Why don't you stand as we close our time together through song? We remember that our God is love, and we praise him for it. Father, we thank you for this time together. Bless us, Lord, as we leave with a song on our lips and the truth in our hearts. We give you praise, and we thank you that we can remember and celebrate the first advent, the first coming of Jesus. We thank you that you promised to come back, but Lord Jesus, we now sing. We sing to be reminded of this beautiful Christmas story and what happened on that day so many years ago. We look forward to your return, but God, as we wait, may we remember. And we remember in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, let's leave by singing together. Hallelujah. We praise the Lord. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Now may we leave in peace, but continuing to sing that song that we praise God, born as the King of Israel, our King. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's go in love in the peace of that King. Amen.